for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, December the 30th, 2009. Carl Fox is the speaker of the evening, teaching on God Will Make a Way.
Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace over every person here. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind and I command every distraction to be bound in the name of Jesus Christ and not to get loose till we're done. And if you want to pick them up, you go ahead. But, Father, we're not going to. We're going to leave the distractions, be distracted. We want you and all that you have for us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen?
Amen.
You know, as you cannot exhaust the Word of God. I've studied it for more years than some of you have been here. And I found you're always going to learn new if you have an expectation. I feel sorry for those that think they know it. You know, I mean, because it's God's Word. You know, and it's the same Word that He created. The devil hates it. He tries to discredit it. Some people say, well, why study the Word? Everybody's preaching, all you got to do is listen. How do you know it's the Word? You know, Peter said that everything in life and godliness is contained herein. Well, what more do we need? And I found the Word of God is even entertaining, but I want to go to, it seriously is. It's not a drudgery to read the Word of God. I mean, you read sometimes and you see these things, and it's like, you know, when I was a little kid, they taught me King David was perfect. And then I went through the shock that he wasn't. And then I wondered, well, why did God still love him? And it was at a time when I was in a lot of trouble with my parents. And so it really blessed me because I thought, I guess maybe they're going to say that when this is all done, they love me. You know, it's true. Because if God can love David after he had Uriah killed, I mean, that was the worst offense when you think about it, in my thinking anyway, than him and Bathsheba. I mean, it's all serious, but when he had Uriah killed to cover up, and it really caused a lot of problems. But I'm not going to teach on that tonight. But I did write a book about the bastard curse. If you haven't read it, read it, because it'll open your eyes. Because if you've ever wondered why the kings of Israel were a bunch of idiots, it was because what David done with Bathsheba, he should have been stoned for. Bathsheba should have been stoned, and their children should have been stoned. But because that curse was able to live in the bloodline, that's why these problems always came up. And when I seen that and started looking at it, it was like, that didn't make me think any less than David, because after all, David was a man after God's own heart. I don't think anybody else has said in the Bible. So how could he be a rascal and still be a man after God's heart? So I started looking at it. But one of the things that David done was he always sought God's forgiveness. He always cried out. He cried out, don't take your spirit away. Because in those days, it could be taken away. Now it's in Ephesians. It's sealed. Like this, I'll just go there because people say, yeah, right. Where's that in the Bible? Well, this is just one place. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Our redemption, we're still working on that. Because the more that we set straight in our life, the less we leave for our children behind us to be in the bloodline, but also the more we're rewarded for, and the greater our judgment's going to be. See, so God knew, because Adam and Eve, their spirit wasn't sealed. Well, look what happened. Man, they went right out and just, you know, went right after the sin of the world, which wasn't there. It was waiting for them. So he said, I won't do that again. I'm not going to trust man that far. So he did it in a way that it sealed. And religious intellects say, well, that can't be true. Well, you know, I'm not going to argue, but that's what the Bible says. It's not the only place. But that's where it says. So if you feel like you've lost your relationship with God and Jesus Christ, all you got to do is ask for it back. Because you didn't lose it. Not from their side, it's from our side. You know, we have a personal adversary, it also says in Ephesians. That's why we study the Word, find out what it says. And he is closer to you than, well, he would be closer to you than God if he could, okay? He knows everything you've done, your ancestors have done, and he's always trying to dump these things in there and hinder us in our relationship to make us feel worthy. But you know what? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, and you might let go, but God didn't let go. It's sealed. It's sealed. You know, and you could say like seal in a big old 2-quart pickle jar. As a little kid, I loved dill pickles. I'd go down the basement and try and open those jars. I got a little bit older. I could figure out how, but that seal could be broken, see? When Joseph was Pharaoh Jr., he got all that authority. He also got Pharaoh's ring, which had a seal and a document and hot wax, and they would seal it. And nobody messed with that seal of Pharaoh. Okay? And he was just a man. But if you could break what God has sealed, my question for you is, why are you greater than God? When did God die and have you take over? Seriously. See, there's a religious theology that says you can lose your Holy Spirit. Well, I'm sorry, it's sealed. Now, if I'm shooting your cows, I'll help you bury them. But seriously, see, God wants you. He paid a terrible price. We have no idea what Jesus went through. You can say, oh, he's half God and half... You can say all those things you want to. My Bible says he was the last Adam. He was the last chance for redemption for mankind. And Jesus paid a terrible price. It says that he couldn't even be recognized. And he knew what it said about him. I mean, I think it says be recognized as a man. So you wonder how much of his body had been beaten off of him. Seriously. He took a terrible beating. And on that cross, he held on. But he held on. He held on because if he didn't hold on and get to Calvary's cross, because he'd already shed his blood, and if he died that night when the soldiers were trying to kill him, they weren't just trying to keep him, we wouldn't be redeemed from the curse. He knew. Because he knew it said in Deuteronomy 23. He knew he had to hold on. He knew that he had to give his life on Calvary. Isn't that amazing? So how dare we think that God would sever his relationship with us after he paid such a price? After Jesus Christ suffered so much. And he said up there, I'm not too bad of a guy sometimes, but I don't think I could have said, God forgive him. I don't know. I haven't been there. But he did. He did. It's a pretty big deal when you think about it. So don't leave this camp with needs because God will cover them. He really will. I know. I've seen thousands of people healed. And emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. Sheila and I was in an insane asylum one time. They're trying to lock me up, though. But in Bucharest, and this young boy, in the funeral, they lowered the coffin. And when they lowered the coffin, the boy went crazy. He was 23 years old, and he just went stark, raving mad. They couldn't do anything. And I found out about it, and they asked if I would go. And his family was part of the royal family, so even though they have a government, communist, but they don't call it that, you know what I mean? But anyway, so we had clearance to go right into the high security part of the mental institution. And we went in there, and God showed me incest. And so I broke the authority of that incest. And as soon as I broke the authority of that incest, which, by the way, was with his mother, as soon as I broke that, and I got him to repent with me, just that quick, he had his mind back. His mind, remember, honey? His mind come back, and he said, I'm free. I am free. I mean, he was excited. And he was saying it Romanian and English. He was interpreting for me. But he was free. And he said, can I go with you? And I said, well, you got some issues, legal issues you need to deal with, son. But you'll be out soon. 2 nights later, I was doing a meeting, and here he come. And every time I go there, it seems I see him at least in the crowd, and he waves, you know. But see, when you find the cause, freedom is guaranteed. When you find the cause, the only thing that's required is we got to believe it. That's what's required. And if we will just believe it, you know what, the devil will try to make you think you're not worthy. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too black. You're too pale. All these things the devil tries to throw at us. It's a lie. Because we didn't do anything except believe God's word. And that's a dirty thing. But people say, well, I'm trying to believe. I say, spirit of unbelief, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a spirit that's named in the Bible. When you have trouble to believe in, tell that demon to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. You cast out yourself. See, you're the king of this castle. Amen? So protect it. Don't let unbelief get in there. You know, one of the hardest unbeliefs is intellectual. I've been through a couple of Bible schools, and I had a terrible time getting rid of most of what I learned. Seriously. Because what they tried to do was promote their denominationalism. See, and, you know, there is only one God. Apostle Paul said there'd be no schisms. So we have all these brands we put walls in the body of Christ. And I believe that's one of the things that's going to come down in these last days. You know, they still might be there, and they'll be empty and dead like a lot of them are already. But the true saints will be drawn away. But anyway, why study? Boy, I got off on a pretty wild tangent. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Familiar scripture to many of us. But verse 13, you have to, and pardon my ugly glasses, my other ones don't work too good anymore. You like them? Make me look like a little owl instead of a fox? I don't know. Anyway. But I meant to ask somebody. I noticed they had a lamp to a clamp on here. I don't... Oh. Man, see, fluorescent lights I can't see under very good. Huh? Okay. Now we won't put up now. I should have been. These are making up the difference. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's start in verse 13. It says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, those people, they themselves are deceived. They think they're right. See, so having a theological discussion doesn't do any good. You know, I never asked to have the office I got, but as prophet, I used to think I had to convince them. One day, God sat me down and said, son, you don't have to convince them. You just got to speak what I give you. Move on. Boy, what a difference that makes. Because, I don't know, you know, maybe you're not stubborn, but most people are. I am. But see, once you've heard, you can't say I didn't know. And it's not our job to convince people. But it is our job to love people. But anyway, so you can't, when somebody is seduced, waxing worse and worse, and even, you know, deceiving themselves, you can't convince that. I don't care how many degrees you got. It won't work. But 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. See, you know, Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy was like a son to Paul, maybe closer than a son. I know Paul had to have had children. I know Paul had to have been married, because he couldn't have been in the Sanhedrin. What happened, maybe when he left Judaism, his wife dumped him. I don't know. Those things happened in those days too. Maybe they died. But anyway, Mrs. Paul is not mentioned at all. But the thing about it is that Timothy was like a son. And Timothy, Paul was like a daddy to him. And they had a beautiful relationship. And see, that's what we need to have in teaching one another, in admonishing one another. There's got to be a relationship. Otherwise, it's like we've all had professors or teachers that we didn't like. You know what I mean? And you had to get, you know, you wanted to graduate. It's hard to learn from them even. See? But there's a love relationship in here. And so Paul's reminding him, you know, to keep him on the track. And he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." That's one of the things the Scriptures do. They make you wise, not stupid. Theology about the Scriptures can make us pretty stupid. But if we let the Scripture speak for itself, then there's wisdom. But it says to make thee wise unto salvation. Through what? Faith which is in Jesus Christ. See, it doesn't say faith in Jesus Christ. That's required, yes. But this is which is in Christ Jesus, right? See, Christ being in front of Jesus is emphasizing the resurrection above the man. Anytime you see it in that order. Because Christ is the anointed. He's the resurrected. He's the one that's alive forever. Anytime you see it in that order, you know, it shows the beauty and the power of it. Because it's talking about the resurrected Christ, Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, when I learned that, it's just like every time I see it in the Bible, I've seen it many times here. It just, you know, it tingles me. But that's one of the things the Word does for me. But it says, but this is, I was building towards this. Because it says all Scripture, not some. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. People say, well, a bunch of men wrote that. Well, yeah. But it was by being inspired of God. The History Channel recently had a thing. They're getting to be quite the theologians anymore. I wish they'd talk a little bit more about Bunker Hill or something, you know. But they mess it all up. But they're talking, you know, and they're trying to make theologically and intellectually Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John fit together and just, you know, massacring it. But the thing about it is it's from inspiration of God, you know. And, you know, when Glenn asked me to speak again, which thank you, Glenn, for asking me to speak again. What an honor it is to stand before all you. It's just like honor. And those of you that are out there watching, it's an honor to speak God's word. And I wanted to do this. After what Howard taught last night, I wanted to come in with a just, you know, God's don't, he says, you need to get in to get my people to appreciate studying my word again. Put a new fire in there, okay? So, but anyway, and it's a good thing because it's profitable for doctrine. See, it's not what the right reverend or doctor so-and-so says. It says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, that's what the Word of God is for. So where do you get your doctrine? Not at the cemetery. You know, they've ruined more good men and women, you know, because they go in full of fire and they quench that fire and not always. I believe I finally am associated with one that's full of fire, you know. But, of course, the one that we Lord led us to found Christian Faith International Ministries is full of fire. And we never ordained anybody into the ministry of CFIM. We ordained people in to ministry in the body of Christ. Because if you're ordained to be into being a Baptist minister, praise God, and you talk to Pentecostal, you've broken a vow. So we do it. Amazing, isn't it? Because it's to minister to the people of that franchise. That's not a very good name, but I can't think of a better one, okay? You get the idea, right? But see, when people are ordained into the body of Christ to minister in the body of Christ, see, then it gives liberty. I wasn't smart enough to think that up. You know, the reason we started this ministry a lot of years ago was because God put in my heart to go into other nations, and everybody I was ordained with expected me to give all the money was raised so they could pave parking lots. Well, I've been where people are starving. When I left Romania in October, and some of those villages, I'm so close in some of these villages, and I seen these little children. We got ministers that didn't have shoes. It's really poverty over there. They're not stupid. But poverty is like, we're so wealthy. And I knew some of those little kids. They got those black, beautiful eyes. They are so dark. And they just look with such love that it just makes you shudder. You know? And to know that some of them will die this winter probably from starvation and freezing. It's I've been there every month a year, and believe me, I don't know what it is about that land. I grew up in northern Minnesota where they invented winter. I mean, they really did. You heard of International Falls? It's up there. On the winter, don't fall. It just freezes. But the thing about it is that there's something, I don't know what it is, if it's a curse on the land, but it gets so cold. These little kids are running around barefooted. One of our greatest outreach tools out there is we have what we call our firewood project. I just got an email this afternoon, it was this evening, and was reading it, and, you know, there's an awful need. But God will have to meet it because I can't. I believe you will. So if you run out of things to pray for our ministry. Because we get involved with people's life. We just don't go over there and make them little Carl Juniors. Okay? We get over there and we get involved in their life. We can't put heat in those homes. I mean, they're mud huts. They're adobe. But it's damp there. And I've been in those homes and see where, you know, many dirt floors yet. And you see those little heel prints in the floor for little children when it gets damp. You know, we're so thankful, folks, if we're smart. We have so much going for us. But just, anyway, we come up with an idea, praise God, you know, inspiration of God, to put heat in the churches. So we provide firewood so they heat the churches at night because it's bitter cold. If it's too cold to sleep in their house, people come down there, including the unbelievers. It's open for anybody to come in. Well, you know, some of the greatest musicians and singers in the world are gypsies. I mean, they're awesome. They could take a tin can and make it sound like a symphony. I don't know how they do it. They just got that gift. But they get in there and they start praising God and bragging on what Jesus done for them and everything. And these cold people come in, get warmed up, and they end up accepting the Lord. So can we get in on this party, you know? And it's a beautiful thing. I don't know how many we had last spring, but the spring before, we had in just this Delta area, I call it. I don't know what they call it. I call it the Delta. It's on the edge of the Danube River. But we had over 1,200 baptisms in one day. We had all our ministers. We got a lot of them over there, praise God. And we had them all busy at Duncan, you know. And they took turns preaching salvation because the people were watching from the bridge. And they were preaching salvation, and the people were coming down off the bridge, walking down to the edge of the water, and getting saved, getting born again, and waiting right out, waiting for a chance to be immersed. See, That's real. This is real work, folks. I can't take the glory, but I don't think there's a day that doesn't go by that we don't have people that are getting born again. I mean, it's a real work. God gave me a vision about these people years ago, and he said it'll be one of the great last great works on the face of this earth of evangelism, because there are people that have been ignored. Everybody's afraid of them. They stink. Some of them never owned a bar of soap. And they're on every continent except the Antarctic. Isn't that amazing? And it's a powerful work. And it's discouraging. I just got in the email, there's a report from one of my guys that's kind of like an overseer or something. He identified a guy that we had a bunch of gifts and stuff shipped in, and cost even money to go get the gifts, and nothing's free anymore. And this one guy stole a bunch of stuff. And we're going to have to deal with him. You know, but why do I tell you about the bad side? Because every time I get discouraged, you know what God tells me? Why study the Word? Let's go back and read the book of Acts, Carl. I get over there, and the first few days, every time I go in, I have to settle disputes. We don't have one ministry over there. We have seven ministries over there. And for a long time, they didn't know about each other because there's so much just competition and jealousy and envy. But now they all know about each other. So we have all these problems. And I've had people, because I'm honest and I talk about them, that have quit supporting us. Well, I don't know of a greater work to support. Honest, I'm not saying we're the greatest, but I don't know a better one. And yes, we do have problems. You know, you have a big family, you've got problems. Sometimes it's a little family, okay? You know what they call me over there? They call me their father. I'm not ashamed that they say, Brother Carl, you got gypsy blood. You got a gypsy heart. Well, you know what? They've taught me some stuff about loving. They've taught me how to embrace and hug somebody that might be 25 years old and never had a bath. See, they aren't taught the things that we take for granted. You know, and when they breathe on you, it's like you get slayed, you know. So one of the things I tell the guys with me, a lot of onions and garlic. But, you know, because it doesn't affect you. Bad breath is not a pleasant thing. But it's better than no breath. Right? But the thing about it is if you don't study the Word, you get so discouraged in well-doing. You know, or you think, I've lost my salvation. Or, God just can't forgive me. We've all had these feelings, folks. And the only answer to all those things is what's in the Word of God. There is nowhere else. You know, psychology, I had some of that. You know, fact is, it's hard to believe, but believe it or not, I got two doctor's degrees. You know, but, you know, it's really piled higher and deeper. Because mostly I got it because I got to deal with the EU. And that's the only thing they recognize. You know, because if I come in and I got that added to my name, otherwise I never use it. But, EU, Unified Europe or European Union. The resurrection of the Roman Empire. No, it is. It is. And it's causing a lot of problems. Because our churches are not part of we never will be, because our name isn't in the front. You could take New Age Bibles and all the people that approve of it. They're all part of the World Council of Churches. We aren't, we won't be. And I said, God, how are we going to do this? And because the government could legally come in and take the church and throw them in jail, everything else. And he reminded me that I'd turned down a doctor's degree 7 years before. See, by studying the Word, I've also learned to recognize the voice of the Lord. And I said, well, God, I don't even know how to get a hold of them. The phone rang at home, and they called. Isn't that amazing? We didn't call them. They called us. I talked to Sheila. I wasn't there. But I went on the internet and I had an email from him. So I knew it was time to move. Well, see, God makes a way, even a silly, pretty piece of paper. You know? And I thought I was going to be honorary. Well, I had more credits than I needed. Praise God. But none of those things replace getting revelation from God. I mean, there's nothing like it, and it's not something you fake it till you make it. You just start trusting Him. But it's doctrine, reproof, and correction. And that is for instruction in righteousness. See, I have responsibility over there. I've got men, because that's what I've done. I never bought the idea of going to a country and spending my whole life and have 40, 50 people that go to our little church that looks like an American one or something. You know, the people that are going to reach the people are the people. So we went over and God led us in and we got good leadership. Raised up, weren't contaminated with any religious theology, taught them the Bible, and they reached their people. And it really works. They're the ones that come up with the idea. Brother Carl, is there any way you can get the Americans if they could have enough money to buy firewood? You say, well, why can't they cut their own? Well, the Delta area don't have firewood. It doesn't have it. That area, you know, it's a shame, but somebody else owns the fields. There is soil so black, so blue, and so rich, but somebody else owns the fields. And a lot of them were Jews that got run out or killed off during World War II, and they went to World Court and got the property back and sits there. It's illegal for the people to sneak in and even grow a tomato. See, the legal system, I'll use King James language, sucketh. Okay? It's a shame, but it's not designed for freedom. Have you noticed that? See, because the only freedom comes from He who the Son sets free. And then you're free indeed. I'm not against it, you know, but it's like the old story where God was trying to get the devil to take care of things down below in hell. And Satan says, you already got me, hell. What can you do to me, God? And God says, well, I'll take you to court. I'll sue you. And he laughed and he says, where in heaven you can find a good attorney? You know. Anyway, I like to tell that to my attorney friends, but because there are some good ones on this side. But see, the system is not set up for the welfare of the common man or woman or those hungry children. Because the root of all evil is what? Love of money. Love of money. A lot of mission work doesn't care about those kids. They just want to take photo ops. And they like to go and take them of our children. I see them on Christian television and they're asking for money. God help them. But see, Jesus said not to forget the widows and orphans. Same thing down in the Mexican border. You know, I just got a call today on that too. And, you know, it's like, when can you bring more? You know, it's like, anyway, praise God. But be praying about these things. Because this is right on the border. An hour and a half from my house, I'm at the Mexican border. And it's not safe to go in. And most Americans, you say, you know, we need some help with this. I'm tired of them blankety blank blank white backs. Well, I am too. That's send them back or that's help them become legal. I don't know about you, but my ancestors came from somewhere. Right? And my ancestors come over here hard. They came as slaves. There's a dirty mix. Irish. The ship was shaped like this. The cattle was here and they put the Irish underneath. And the ones that survived the trip, they didn't die coming over. They owed 12 years to railroads. See? And they had to work it out. Well, but see, in those days, people were coming here for religious freedom. You know, for the last 50 years, nobody's come for religious freedom. See, the whole idea is different. I mean, our land is cursed, folks. I read the Bible. That's how I know. We're being surrounded by people whose language we don't understand. This is serious. That's called a curse in the Bible. Yeah, we should welcome people in. But we have laws and they should come in by the standard of the law. Amen. And we should be impartial. You know, some of your ancestors might have come over real rough. I don't know. But praise God, by the grace of God, you're citizens and you're loved. Maybe not by everybody, but everybody don't love me either. Okay? But I thank God because this is one of the things that makes our country strong. You know, is people have come from all over seeking freedom of religion. I mean, the right to own land was such a big deal. Still is. Still is. You know, it's, I mean, that's, everybody wants power, and if you own enough land, you got power. Well, if you can pay taxes. But see, we have to figure out, folks, from the Bible, the solutions to problems we got. Okay? And the Bible has the answer, and I better get speeding up here or we're going to be in trouble. But go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Right after 1 Peter, I know that much. But anyway, 1 verse 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. See, we have all these ding-a-lings going around wanting to prophesy. Well, if their prophecies have come to pass, praise God. But if they're not there, what kind of prophet? That's what the Bible says, see? That's how I know it, see? Because that's what the Bible says. But we also have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto we do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. See, and for each of us, that's a different time. But there's a point in our life if we continue to study the Word and obey the Word that arises in our hearts. You know, and, you know, I'm never going to say I've never gotten to the point where I, you know, I'll never turn back. Because when I was 12 years old, I got thrown out of the church. I was reading the Bible and they were teaching something else. And all I was doing was asking questions, troublemaker. But I felt God had rejected me. So I went out and done everything I could to go to hell. I told them, I'd rather go to hell than be with you people. Now, I can't blame them for my rebellion, okay? But I was 28 years old when God got a hold of me. But when I got settled back in with God, I just cried out to Him and I said, God, if everybody leaves, I'm going to stay. I'm not leaving anymore. I said, I have wasted all these years. I've done things that just amazes me I can be forgiven for. That's why, but you know what? That trained me for working with the gypsies. They can't shake me up. They can't. You know, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. So God didn't waste it. And, you know, and one thing I knew, and it used to really bug me, because I was really trying to get away from Him. But I knew in my heart I had Him. As hard as I tried to get rid of Him, I had Him. There was times my life was at risk, and He intervened. I mean, I've been shot at from this close, okay? Yeah. You know, you feel the muzzle blast. It wasn't a misfire. I'm here. I mean, the things that go on, you know. Everybody end up in the hospital but me? Come on. Because God had His mark on me. You know, and God will take care of you. You know, about 8 years ago, my sister passed, and the family asked if I'd do her memorial. Well, it's my hometown, and I was a pretty wild kid. And it never went back. I left there and I said I'd never go back, but Evelyn passed. And so they put an obituary, Reverend Carl Fox, you know, is going to do the service. But the mortician told me, man, everybody for three counties, it seems like, is trying to get in this place. Well, they wanted to see if this guy was really was a preacher. And a preacher of what, you know? But the hardest part for me was when we got to the grave. So I just read the 23rd Psalm. And I looked at the grave diggers behind the lilac bush to drink a beer. Some of them I drank a lot of beer with. We were going to high school. It kind of made me mad, you know. And I realized it's Memorial Day weekend. I said, come and get her buried and go party somewhere else. And I said, anybody that's sick, needs healing and deliverance, just come over here with me. And for 4 hours, And there was all kinds of healing and deliverance. You know what? My family still hasn't forgiven me. My mother recently passed away, and they deliberately had the memorial service when I couldn't be there. And I immediately forgave them, because forgiveness, boy, I tell you what, I was not a forgiving man at one time. And I'm not going to gamble with it. I right away forgive. And I forgive them again, so in case there's anything sneaks in. But see, the devil knew I said that to God, and he's done everything he can to stop me. But if you know what the Word of God says, you know, then you know where to go when you need strength and answers. And when I don't know, I find somebody that can help me find it. But it's God's revelation, okay? It's not the revelation of man. It's not the revelation of the Pentecostals, Baptists, Roman Catholic, Greek Orthodox. It's revelation of God. All right? And it's your revelation. This is my Bible. You try to take this Bible, I break it your arm. I'll pray for it afterwards, okay? But this is my Bible. If you need one, I'll get you one. See, I even put my name on it, make sure that everybody knows. This is mine, all right? And I take this real personal. Because to me, the Word of God is an intimate love letter from the Heavenly Father. And when I'm all messed up, He just speaks sweet to me. And He also kind of gives me a swat on the fanny if I need it. Because a loving Father will chasten you. So if you're going through chastening, He's just loving you. If you're in sin and stuff and you're not being chastened, then He ain't your Father. Then you need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen is right. I'd like to go to that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13, please. We could go there and talk about Holy Ghost, but we're not going to talk about that necessarily. But 13, it comes right after 12. And in verse 2, it says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Well, the word charity means love. Okay? Okay, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Huh? 1 Corinthians. Did I say 2? That's where I want to go. But this is true. Okay? See, the Word of God is true. You know, one time I was getting a lot of recognition. I said, God, I don't want to let anything get ahead of you. I said, help me stay humble. You know what He told me? He said, in the Old Testament, I have a talking donkey. He said, in the New Testament, I have a talking fox. Okay? So I mess things up sometimes. But let's go to 2 Corinthians, okay? Y'all could do a better job than me, but I'm the one they've stuck up here. Praise God. I guess it's so I need to learn something. But 2:13-2, I told you before, and I foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which hereunto have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. See, Paul's being tough here. You know, some people say, well, where's the love in that? Well, he's saying, get it together so I don't have to whoop on you. How many of you parents? Grandparents, even. Sometimes you got to, you know, whoop them a little bit. You don't have to hurt them, but you got to get some tension. But you warn them. Some kids have a study of how many times can I get warned before I get in trouble. Don't let that one go on too long, okay? And God doesn't. But He says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which is to you word, is not weak, but mighty in you. For though He was crucified through weakness, you're talking about Christ, yet He lived by the power of God. See, that's where you need to be. That's what's going to stop you from limping one of these days, brother. That screw they say can't come out, it just disappear. Okay? You just believe that, all right? By the way, you're doing a pretty good job as it is. Praise God. But He says, you know, Christ let Himself be weakened to be crucified. Yet He liveth by the power of God, for we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with him by what? Power of God toward you. You know what that is when someone ministers to you? That's the power of God toward you. See, because we're reaching out horizontally. I mean, I don't have any formulas. I'm not smart enough to memorize stuff. But, we're too lazy probably. But, I just depend on hearing from God. That's the way I function. Been doing it for a lot of years. Because he knows what your heart needs. He knows the hurt, but he also knows what my heart needs. And see, if we work on our relationship with him, then he can minister to us mightily. And he does. It is so awesome because he loves us. God really cares. He doesn't take anything away. It says the gifts of God are without repentance. I'll tell you, I've seen dead people get up. I've seen the blind see. Praise God, because I give him the glory, so I get to go do it more. But really, the greatest miracle I ever get a chance to be part of is when someone goes from eternal death in hell to eternal life in the presence of God. And, you know, they would not use the word eternal if you could lose it. Because in my church, and I had some pastor friends of mine from around town coming too. We had Wednesday night study going. And we were going through every place where the word eternal and everlasting was in the Bible. And finally one day, I had this brother that he just couldn't let loose of what he got in Bible school. Good friend. Wonderful, warm. We're good friends. We love each other. I take him up to my cabin sometimes and just an awesome man. But he lives with this lack of power in his life because he thinks he can lose his eternal life. And when it said everlasting God, it was the same word as for eternal life. So I said, John, I said right in front of everybody because he'd been made known what he believed. I said, John, if you can lose your eternal life, then God is not an everlasting God because it's the same word. Isn't that amazing? See, well, Brother Carl, if you teach that, how are you going to get them to come to church? Well, you know, I'm sure I don't want anybody to come to my church for lying a con job. See, we're all here because we love God, right? Does anybody here not love God? Would you please raise your hand? You don't love God? You know what, brother, I know it, and if you would repent, your life could change. Spirit of pride. These things manifest sometimes, but we haven't given up on our brother. See, the devil puts imprints in us. We got to stop it. We got to stop it. And sister, next time don't cover for him. Remember what I said? Let his hand be up. Okay? All right? God bless you. I love you. Love him too. But see, honesty is what it takes to get the job done. We don't have to convince people. If people could be convinced, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die, right? So, you know, we don't have to convince people. We can just let them, you know, I mean, you got a God-given right to go to hell if you want. That's amazing. You got a God-given right to go to heaven too. All you got to do is believe Jesus Christ died for your sins. And yeah, we're going to mess it up sometimes, but, you know, some of the greatest things I've achieved, I started out messing it up. There's a famous minister that messed things up so bad in Romania the first time I went. They notified me, we don't want you to come. We don't want no more American ministers. And I said, well, you know, I'm coming. I don't have any choices. What do you mean? I said, I bought non-refundable, non-cancelable airplane tickets. I'm not going to waste the money. They said, well, if you want to be stubborn, who are you going to minister to? That's people on the streets. They need it. Who are you going to stay with? There was no hotels in those days. I said, I'll stay with people except the Lord. Well, they came to the airport and were going to really prove me be an idiot. Well, that doesn't take a lot of skill, you know. Because I help them sometimes. But we were 4 hours late and I had three men with me. And I hadn't told them about our welcome. It wasn't their problem. See? So we're coming out of the airport. We don't know a soul. Never met anybody. Didn't even know how to say hi. I know now, Lava Laduri. But it's a lot of words for hi, isn't it? Much prettier. But anyway, I walk out and there's a little girl. Little girl's about 14 years old. She's holding up a sign that said Carl Fox. I was so overwhelmed. I ran over and grabbed her and hugged her. No. Strike one. Men don't hug women. I said, why you got all these children? I didn't say it. I thought it. So then they took me to a lady that was dying, and she has cancer so bad, bone cancer, that you could see through her skin. There's nothing left of her. She's laying there in agony. We all crowd in this room. You're a prophet, healer. I said, I didn't say I was a prophet. Healer. That's the way they talked, and my interpreter told me what they said. And a poor little girl was really frightened. And they give me a girl instead of a man as an interpreter is an insult. So to this day, I hire women. You know why? They're more honest. Men will try to correct the doctrine on you. You know? And they'll do their job, and they'll speak what you say. Sorry, guys. But anyway, and I was irritated. They didn't even give me a cup of coffee. 44 hours of traveling. We had troubles there on every turn. And so I just said, well, Jesus, you done it. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get the hell out of here. Hell's in the Bible, I'm not swearing. The devil once says the swear word because he don't like, that's his future. Well, they didn't understand English, and they're knocking each other out to get out of the room because in the name of Jesus Christ, they didn't believe and they've been rebuked. And I look in Carmen, our little interpreter, she's crying. I said, well, what's your problem? She says, I don't believe either. I said, we'll cover your unbelief. We need you. Well, not over 20 minutes later, we walked out arm in arm, this lady and I. Now, you would think that would have touched their hearts. But religion don't have a heart. And these are all the heads of the denomination. And so they take me down out and there's this place, had a real nice garden area, they call it. You know, we would call it a lawn or whatever, but they make me stand in the sun, as tired as I was, and they're all seated in the shade. But they're trying to figure out if I'm Pentecostal or evangelical. And I said yes to both. I'm not real bright, but to me, evangelical means Bible-based. It's not a bad word. Pentecostal, there was no Christians before the day of Pentecost. So I said, yeah, and they're just getting irritated with me because they're trying to put me in a box. It wasn't working. So finally they decided, because the evangelicals had the majority, they voted me to be a Pentecostal. And as they're leaving, I got a picture of, you know how geese walk looking at the over back, you know, spitting at you. You know, the geese right here will do that. Yeah, and that's what they reminded me of. But they left. So now the Pentecostals got to figure out what to do with me. Well, I'm thinking, you know, I really blew it by coming here. But the next day, and I did, I'd messed some things up. But the next day, they grabbed me off the street and pushed the American with me, just nearly knocked him down and took me. Now, this isn't long after the revolution. There's a lot of gunfire. 200,000 people roughly died. That wasn't one of the countries the curtain come down easy. And so I didn't know what was going on. But when you're in a tight spot, you know what? Your imagination, you could write a book with the thoughts, but you just flatten them out. You don't receive them. Don't receive them.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.